The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and the Week in Comics. And this one titled Release the Hounds. If you don't know what that means, wow, you haven't been listening. But if you haven't been listening, you're new to the podcast, thank you for tuning in, and you'll find out when you get in the store what Release the Hounds means. But I think I can safely say that is the biggest news of the day. We also have some other big news today, which is a surprise visit. First time in Brightside history, we have the pop-in, the old pop-in into Arkham Comics and Games. That was a treat. But John and I always have fun hanging out, talking comics, talking whatever we want to talk about in a comic book store. So let's get into the store and have some fun. Johnny, I'm back. It's Thursday morning, in quotations.
You're like a rash. Just can't seem to get rid of you.
Stop rubbing cream on me.
I know. Oh, let me go grab that 10-foot pole because I'm gonna need that to touch you, to touch that statement.
Look on your face. I don't think I've seen your eyes open like that. It's like the yeah. Emoji eyes. Whoa.
Yeah, well, like, it was like
I've got so many things I could say to that.
I know. I was like, that's just like low-hanging fruit, man. Just like served it up on a tee for me.
There you go. That's how we do it.
Yeah.
Oh, so how things going?
Going great. Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Can't complain.
It has to be going excellent. Let's not bury the lead here. The hounds have been released.
Oh, I was like, oh, does it have to be excellent?
Yeah. I got what? The text
I mean,
today.
I don't know today. That it's like, excellent, but.
What time did you text me today? It was like, was it?
I don't know, 12:30.
Yeah, so like 1:30 my time here, and yeah. I'm like, you're like, release the hounds. And it's funny, I saw your text at like I said, like 1:30, and usually on Wednesdays you'll text me what at like 5-6 o'clock or something with your idea, like the show notes and stuff, so I can get everything ready. And I'm like at 1:30, and I just saw your name. I was in the middle of working, and you know on your phone it comes up, says John text. So I was like, okay, and yeah. I'm like, oh no, something must have gone wrong. I'm like, maybe he can't make it tonight or something. I got all nervous. So I'm like working. There was something I was in the middle of that I couldn't stop doing. So I was like, oh, okay, just get this done. I want to see what it is. Maybe we can handle it. And then I open it up and I'm surprised with Release the Hounds. And I was like, yes. And I was like, well, it's kind of late for tonight's show. I can't read it. I'm like,
it wasn't necessarily for you to read for tonight. It was just.
Yeah, we can't hold that back.
A call to action.
Exactly. You know? So we're prepping the listeners for next week. We're probably going to be pretty DC heavy next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's good, because if I read a stack of books and go, wow, that I really didn't miss anything, that's not going to be good.
No, it would not. Well, I mean, I can tell you I've read a chunk of Batman today. And
oh, good for you.
Pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Pretty good. Like,
you're killing me.
Sorry, man.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to read it. And a Batman came out today, didn't it?
Yeah, the new Batman.
What number was that? How far behind am I?
96.
So that's 4, because I read 92. You hadn't read 92 yet.
I hadn't read 92. So I read the 4, like the Joker War prelude issues. So Nightwing 70 and 71 and Detective... like 1022 and 1023 or something like that. And then I read Batman up to 95. So I think from like 91 to 95. So I mean, I read like 8 books today. And
nice.
Fairly caught up with Joker War. And, you know, it is really good. You know, I definitely enjoyed it quite a bit. So we'll see. Like, I got a stack. And, you know, honestly, it's not so much like... Like, DC didn't do anything good this week, necessarily. It was just the fact that, you know, my stubbornness was starting to bury me into a hole that I wasn't going to be able to get out of because,
right.
Like, you know, I have a stack of 50 books to read as it is. And I was like, you know, it's not getting any better. They're not going to change anything. So it's like, at this point, it's just my own stubbornness
right.
keeping it going. And I was like, you know, if I'm ever going to read these books, I need to just, you know, bury the hatchet and start reading them. And I figured, you know, it's not Batman's fault. Right. You know, I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. So
that's true. That's very true. Yeah. Batman didn't do anything wrong. Yeah. I know what you mean. It's tough because you're still,
I'm still not super happy with them, but
right. You're still pretty sore about it.
Yes. but
that's, I mean, it's good news. We'll forget yeah. it. It's all in the past. That's business is business. That's
yeah.
gotta be that. And you know, we'll move on.
Yep. Well, and like I said, if I, you know, I need to be able to sell these books, and it's a lot harder to do when you're not reading any of them. So.
Yeah. The old shoulder shrug doesn't really sell.
Yeah. It's hard to, hard to keep justifying to people why I'm not reading DC Comics, but they should. So.
Right.
You know, I needed to, like I said.
Good for you.
Put it behind me and swallow my pride a little bit, or my ego.
Look at you. You're growing as a human.
I know.
Look at you go.
I'll tell you.
All right. I can't wait to read them. Can't wait for next week. Can't wait. Actually, I'll probably start tomorrow if I get the opportunity. But hey, did you hear that bell?
Yes.
Oh, man. What a surprise. Here we are. I can't believe it. John, you see who this is?
I do.
How do you know who it is? You've never seen him before.
You know, I follow Twitch.
We have our first ever Bright Side pop in to Arkham Comics and Games. How you doing, Dr. Joe?
I'm doing okay.
you're
He's
exhausted.
He's trying to be less excited
tell.
Than me. That's his John impression.
I didn't know if that was his John impression or he's exhausted from the press tour.
Yeah, that's right.
He's down here on his press tour down at Arkham Comics and Games in Houston. So apparently Nick drew the short straw and he has to do Fallon tonight. Is that what it is? You got us and he got Fallon.
Yeah, Nick's got a busy schedule today.
Yeah, you were the lucky guy. You got us. So.
Yeah, arms are tired from flying down there. You know.
There yeah. you go. Oh, yeah, see?
Man, he's bringing out all the jokes. He definitely listens.
Oh, man. So, nice to have you here at Arkham Comics and Games. Joe, what brings you down?
Well, thank you guys for having me. And I'm actually here today because I want to promote a new show that I'll be doing live on my Twitch streams starting Thursday nights, or tonight if you're listening on Thursday. It's called Too Long Didn't Read, or TLDR for short. And basically, it's going to be myself and my partner Nick talking each about a comic book that is important to us that the other person might not have read for whatever reason. And I'm going to talk about the book, why I love it, why I chose it, why I think the viewers would like to read it. And then Nick will ask a series of questions about, you know, and tell us why he may have passed on it. And then we'll, you know, sort of flip and he'll do the same. And we just want to introduce books not only to each other, but obviously to our viewers and in the audience, and hopefully get casual readers excited and interested about new books.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. I love the idea of you saying, of each of you saying the part where, why you didn't read it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool because I think a lot of people try to stay away from that stuff. And like, I know your three choices, or I don't know what you're doing this week, but I like all three choices.
Yeah.
I've got my fingers crossed for the one that I want and you know which one that is.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be great, especially on your Twitch stream. Now, obviously this is going to be videoed, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
It's on the Twitch stream.
Yep.
What's your Twitch stream? Batcracker_Dr. Joe?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
And that's DR, not D, you know, it's Batcracker_DR_JOE.
Joe.
Yep.
Yep. And, but yeah, so are you going to have them in hand? To show
I will. Yep. I'm going to have, awesome. I'll have the first issue of the book. I'm pretty sure Nick will do the same. And we're going to start off just doing the show live. It will be both on my Twitch stream, but also on the Dork Shared Gooniverse Facebook page. So we'll be live sort of in two spots. And so, yeah, I plan on having the issue number one in hand. And I'm pretty sure Nick will do the same. And it's just, it was one of these things that came about with just two guys talking about different books. And the idea just sort of, you know, came up organically. And this idea of why we didn't read a book, it doesn't necessarily have to be, well, because I just hate it and I don't like it. It just, there's a number of reasons. You guys talk about it on your show, and we've had Twitter, you know, conversations about, oh, well, take that book, King of Nowhere. You guys talked about it once. I was literally at the comic shop, and I looked at it and said, yeah, the art doesn't really speak to me, and I put it down. And passed on it. And then after listening to you guys talk about it, you loved it. I say, hey, you know what? These guys haven't really steered me wrong in the past. I'll go back, give it a shot, and I love it. And so I'm hoping that this show can have that effect on the people watching. You know, whether it's the hardcore comic person that passed on a book for whatever reason, or it's just a casual comic reader. Oh, that sounds like a cool story. Yeah, let me give that a shot. And hopefully that sparks a greater interest in that book and in comics in general.
Yeah. Yeah, listening to Change My Mind podcast, Nick's podcast with Wes.
Yep.
And you hear Wes, he doesn't read comics.
Yep.
And he's actually interested in listening to you guys. And it's stuff like that. You wonder, does he get the bug? Does he pick up one of the comics that you guys are talking about because of whatever you say? Or maybe you know, whoever's saying why they didn't read it, you know, maybe they were wrong. And right. That's a great idea. It's a great conversation. And that's fun for Twitch, too.
And I think Wes is, he said, like, I would never have watched this, whether it be a DC animated movie or just a movie in general, or I never would have read this book had Nick not talked about it on his Comic Book Minute or whatever. So I'm just hoping it'll be a fun way to talk comics, because, you know, John's been lucky. He's had the store open. He's had some people in and hopefully had some good conversations. I have not stepped foot in my comic shop since March. It sucks because, pardon my French, language.
That's okay, French. That French is okay on the podcast.
Because I had my routine every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. I'd walk over to my shop and I would talk to Dave or Jesse and it would be during my lunch break. So I had some time to talk and, you know, they would, oh, why don't you check out this book? And, oh, okay. And then I'd grab it and then, you know, and I missed that. And so getting to talk comics again is going to be a lot of fun. And we're about giving our audience something new to read, hopefully, but also each other. You know, for this week, you know, the books that we picked, obviously, you know, neither of us read. And it's going to be like that every week. And I'm very excited to hear what, you know, I know what book he's talking about, obviously. But I can't wait to hear him talk about it. So I've got some questions that I want to ask for him, and I told him it's going to be very, very basic because my knowledge of this character is very limited, and it's going to be helpful for me, but I think that the types of questions will be helpful for, you know, the viewer, and the listener, and, hopefully it sparks me going out and ordering a copy of the book, and it does the same for, you know, whomever's, you know, watching and listening.
Cool. Why don't you give Nick's background too? He's got a pretty extensive background in comics.
He does. So Nick, you can primarily find him, or not primarily find, but you can find him on the Change My Mind podcast, which is part of the Dork Shared Gooniverse, and also on iTunes. But he does a lot of comic reviews for a couple of different websites, which are escaping me at the moment. Which is not good, I know, but I just I suffer from CRS, can't remember shit. But he also works at WEI. I believe he's a producer over there as well. So he's got a sports background. He's got a comic background, and I've met him a few times in the past, but I've really gotten to know him over the past couple of months, and just really excited to work with him and do the show with him.
Yeah, it's Geeks Worldwide.
There we go. Thank you very much. Yep, thank you.
You are very welcome. Yeah, he's got an extensive knowledge of comics. It's a shame he only does a short minute on his show, but
yeah.
Change My Mind's a it's kind of a different podcast. It's not really comics, and he gets kind of like Davey doing his video game minute.
Right, exactly.
Pretty much the same thing.
And this will give him a greater opportunity to expand on that as well, which is which is great. And his knowledge of comics far exceeds mine. But I think it's just the passion of comics in general that'll.
We got to get Nick and John together.
Oh yeah, I bet that'd be a lot of fun.
Because it, I mean, he obviously exceeds mine. Dr. Joe, I think you exceed mine. Because you were much deeper into comics and the titles and the names. I was more of a artistic, you know, I didn't absorb the names and the authors and all of that as a kid. I was just like, hey, look at this one.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff that you guys talk about amazes me how you remember, you know, all of these things. And I was more of a, you know, just grab it, read it, and move on. But yeah, it's like getting Nick and John together, that would be a good time.
Yeah, that would be a good time. Yeah, definitely. Because like, there's characters that he loves that I would never gravitate towards. And
yeah, everybody's like that. Yeah.
And his knowledge of those characters, you know, Moon Knight, for example, big Moon Knight guy, and I couldn't tell you diddly squat.
Oh, we got to get him with Martin. The guy that runs the Nerdy Legion.
Oh,
he's a big Moon Knight
guy.
That's right. Loves Moon Knight.
So there's going to be, you know, I think a lot of what we'll talk about is this, you know, going to be a lot of Marvel DC books, but I'm also going to try and bring a lot of that indie book flair as well.
Nice.
That's where, you know, my passion has been lately, because we had this sort of conversation on Twitter, you know, a week ago or wherever, just about, with indie books, there's a lot more ability to tell tales that kind of go, you know, here, there, and everywhere, right? Without being within that scope of it being the Avengers, or this is just the, you know, the Justice League, and we're just going to tell, you know, superhero stories, you know, all the time. And the, you know, books like, you know, Jeff Lemire, for example, he writes so many different books. The way he's able to dive into his characters and the diversity of all those characters is amazing. And that's something you get, you know, with indie books, that you don't always get with, you know, Marvel and DC.
Well, yeah. I think there's also an opportunity to influence, there's a bigger opportunity to influence new readers with indie books.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if you're in a comic book store, you've probably heard of Batman or Spider-Man already, but you haven't read Saga, or you haven't read Black Science, or you haven't read Deadly Class or something like that. So I think that's where you have, like I said, the biggest opportunity to influence people to something new.
Yeah, and I haven't read Saga yet, and it's something that's on my list. But that, you know, I think to me why I haven't jumped in yet is it's a daunting – to me it seems daunting to start right now because it's so big.
Right.
But at some point I know I will, because I've heard nothing but fantastic – things about it, and so this show will hopefully be a catalyst for me to do that, because it will give me an excuse to then talk about it on the show at some point, which would be great.
Now, so you're on Thursday nights, what time? Because if people tune in on Twitch, obviously that's pretty interactive, and I know you're pretty good about that stuff, at replying to people and you know, talking right to them on the screen. So I'll be in tomorrow night. I'm definitely I'm setting the alarm. I'm late night tonight, but Thursday night I'll be there for your first night, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
So what time to tune in?
So 8-ish. We'll call it a loose 8. You know, I have a 3-year-old. So you know, sometimes
that's 7 o'clock your time, John.
Yeah. So right around 8 o'clock. Yeah. So yeah, right around 8 o'clock. I mean, it might be 8:05, it might be 8:10, it might be 8:15, depending on, you know, if something last minute happens. But right, general in that right 8 o'clock hour, and I usually tweet out beforehand, you know, going live in 10, 15, whatever the time frame may be.
Yep.
And I do that on my Twitter at Dr. Joe Gilmore. And it's also going to be on, like I said, Facebook as well. So there'll be a couple of places to find it, which will be great. And very excited.
Cool. Well, that's awesome. Glad you stopped in.
Oh, well, thank you again for having me.
Dr. Joe, you've been the first of many things for us. And here you are at the first pop-in at Arkham Comics and Games.
So many firsts.
Yeah. It's
I don't need to know all the firsts, fellas. That's, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that bell go off, and it isn't just me. John was very, I could tell by the look on his face. He was very happy it wasn't just me tonight.
Well, I've got my Tyvek suit on, you know, and nice. My gloves and mask, and, you know, I'm all covered up.
All righty. Thank you. Yeah, I know. Exactly. You, and I mean, we are in one of those touchy states, so
we are.
You got to be careful. Yeah. And thank you for braving the elements and coming down here, braving everything to get come down here and see us.
Well, I do what I can, you know, do what I can.
All righty. Thanks, Dr. Joe.
All right. Thank you.
Have a safe flight home. Rest those arms.
You got it.
Take care, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right. That was pretty cool of Dr. Joe to show up like that.
Yeah. Wasn't expecting to see him today.
Exactly. I mean, it's nice of him to fly all the way down here to Arkham Comics and Games. I'll say that again.
Yeah. Shameless plug.
It's not shameless. We have no shame, John.
That's true. I have no shame.
Hopefully that Twitch thing works out for him, though. I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I hope so. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
I like that idea that he's going to be showing the books, because you and I have talked about that, maybe doing a video version someday, but we're having enough. This is enough for us right now.
Yeah.
To try and produce a video as well. I don't know. But that'll be pretty cool. I think, and hopefully it gets new readers, you know, so that'll be pretty cool. Really happy for him. That's good. All right. Where were we?
We were just finishing up talking about DC.
Oh, yeah. So. DC. Oh, speaking of DC, not only the books, we can go back to our shows.
I know. I'm actually looking forward to watching the last two episodes of Harley Quinn. Because I definitely heard good things about that, and can't wait to check that out. So
that and Stargirl.
Yeah, I think, what did we watch, two or three? I think we watched three episodes.
I think we had three of those, yeah.
Yeah, the season finale is this week, I think, so got a little ways to go on that.
Yeah. Harley Quinn's now on HBO Max, which I won't catch it there, but...
Yeah, I'll watch it on DC Universe, just
that's where you can
4K.
See it in 4K.
That's right. And I'll watch Stargirl there, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Commercial-free on DC Universe. I keep getting my emails from DC Universe, too. Like, what do you think of DCU? I'm like, ugh.
Oh, really? I haven't gotten anything from them.
Yeah. I'm
surprised. Unless maybe it's going to spam.
Probably.
Or maybe they heard of my blackballing them and decided not to.
Yeah. Me. There you go.
They didn't want to rub salt in the wound.
Right. So what else you got? What do you got this week?
Not a whole lot, to be honest with you. I didn't find too much. But looks like Disney is the first one to blink when it comes to how they're going to handle their cinematic releases. They announced, I think yesterday, that they were going to bring Mulan to Disney Plus. So after multiple reschedulings and delays... they've decided to bring it to their platform. They're doing it a little bit differently than the other VOD because they are requiring that you be a subscriber to Disney Plus to be able to purchase the video on demand for this.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is crazy. And they're also higher priced. Most of these things are coming out at $19.99. They're coming out of the gate at $29.99 for Mulan. In addition to the monthly subscription fee that you need if you're not already a subscriber. So, like, if you want to see this movie and you don't subscribe to them, you're looking at $40 to basically subscribe for a month to Disney Plus and then buy this movie. So, I'm curious to see what kind of numbers this does, because that it seems like they're putting a lot of restrictions on people being able to watch this movie. They kind of clarified a little bit today, though, which makes it just slightly better, the fact that it's unlocked forever as long as you remain a subscriber to Disney Plus. So it's not the traditional 48-hour.
So it's not a rental. You're actually purchasing
right.
it.
Right. You're actually purchasing it as long as you remain a subscriber to Disney Plus. It will stay unlocked for you.
That's interesting.
But as soon as you let the service go, then you lose access to that, too. And it's unclear whether if you, I would imagine if you renewed in the future, you would still have access to it as long as you had the same credentials, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah.
It's a little interesting to see how, like, other studios will respond. Like, does Warner Brothers require you to have HBO Max to watch Tenet, or, you know, whether they do something similar with Wonder Woman or, you know, any of their other releases. Or even, like, Universal could use Peacock, you know, for that matter, because, you know, they're affiliated.
Right.
So it's interesting. It's an interesting idea, but I don't know if I'm a huge fan of having to be a subscriber to a specific service to be able to use the VOD. So we'll see. But
that's like a new wrinkle. What you just said, where you get it permanently, that is a new wrinkle at $29. At first, like, I didn't know that until you just said it.
That didn't come out till today. It was on, like, yesterday. I was saying, man, that's a lot of money for a 48-hour rental. So this makes it a little bit better, but, you know, again, for somebody like you or me, like, you're probably not that interested in Mulan anyways, but I actually am. Like, this is a movie I was kind of looking forward to. But I would want to own the 4K disc.
Right.
So, like, do I want to spend $30 to buy it on Disney Plus and then another $30 to buy the 4K disc later? I don't know if I'm down for that. And, like, the other question becomes, how long, like, do they stick to the standard, like, you know, normally, I guess, 6 months or so after this movie came out, it would probably premiere on Disney Plus. But, like, I'm wondering if they change that timeline at all, and maybe they won't make it free for, like, a year, or, you know what I mean? So they can continue to milk the $30 fee out of it. So, it'd be interesting to see how all that plays out.
Right.
And, you know, again, for the majority of people, they don't care about buying the disc later on. Like, if they own it on Disney Plus, they'll be fine with that forever. But, like, somebody like you or I would not be satisfied with that. So,
right.
You know, and, you know, it might cost me $30 to go to the movies if I was going to go see it in the theater. But, you know, I get the experience there too. You know, I get my popcorn and my drinks, and I get to go out and do that. And so that kind of factors into the price a little bit. I don't know if I'm down specifically for $30 to watch it at home. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. It's at $30 at home and everything that you just said, like, when does it come out on disc? Because I don't know. I don't know if that's a good business model. The new wrinkle that you just added in there where it's permanent, that's a little better, but still, it's like, if you're not on Disney Plus, there's extra hoops here you have to jump through, not even money wise, just the idea that it's like, okay, I want to watch this. I want my kids to watch this. So right. I need to sign up for this. So you have to go through the whole rigmarole of signing up for Disney Plus. Then once you're on Disney Plus, now I have to purchase this for $29.99. And then instead of just having it out there as a rental, and if it's a 48-hour rental and you thought it was great, say it's $19.99 to rent it, the following week, maybe your kid wants to watch it again. Well, now you're at $40. But it's now they're. I don't know if they're going to recoup their money. This doesn't seem like a. It definitely isn't a replacement for theatrical release than a regular, you know, than a regular video release.
Well, that, because this is probably a $1 billion movie for Disney in normal times. You know, like, Mulan would be huge for them. And I don't think they recover anywhere near $1 billion box office with the model they have now. I just can't see it doing that kind of business.
Here's a way.
Yeah. Well, if it's, you know, the other thing too, again, in a normal pre-COVID world, like, this would do $1 billion at the theaters, but it would also 6 months later drive droves of new people to their service to watch it, you know, on their service as well.
Christmas sales of Blu-ray.
Yeah, they'll lose a little bit of that if they're forcing you to pre-sign up in advance.
Right.
So I don't know what I don't know if that's smarter than just going, like, to Vudu or iTunes for $20 and then, you know, we'll have to see. This, obviously, they're testing new waters, and, you know, we saw how it worked out for Universal with, like, Trolls World Tour, and they did pretty good money at the time for that movie. But this is a different animal. Like, this is something that they were counting on making, like I said, making $1 billion for them. Now, it looks like it is going to have theatrical release in countries that have opened back up. So China and Japan, I think, are going to have a theatrical release. And honestly, this movie is going to do huge numbers overseas in those markets. So, you know, we'll have to see how much that plays into it also.
But what I was going to say is I wouldn't be surprised if they do a theatrical release eventually.
Well, they said they'll do one here also in cities where, you know, things have opened up to the point where.
But I mean, like a countrywide one, like next summer. Like, if all of this is gone and they go, you've seen it at home, now go. You could see the promos coming already.
Maybe so.
I think that would actually be pretty cool too. I think kids would like that. It's like it's going to be a piecemealing way of getting this. It's going to be interesting to track the numbers because, like a year from now, I'd be like, it's finally done $1 billion because it did this here, it did this here, it did this in all these different avenues.
Well, I think this is one we will talk about several times going forward, just because it's going to be really the first major release that, you know, we're going to get to see, like, how it performs. And I think a lot of the other studios are probably going to be watching this, you know, really closely to see what it does.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, this also doesn't come out until September. So is somebody like Warner Brothers going to wait on Tenet all the way until this comes out and then make an announcement on what they're going to do? They're probably already formulating their plans on what they're going to do. I don't think they can wait to see how this performs because they lose another month between now and then of not being able to do something with that movie.
Right.
And, you know, they're probably in the same boat. Like, this came from the Disney investor call yesterday where they talked about losing something like, you know, $3 billion last quarter or $300 billion. I don't even know what it was, but that, you know, is kind of facilitating the move with this movie. And I can't imagine Warner Brothers is in any better of a position, you know, because they've got to recoup the money for their movies too. So we'll see. The other thing I heard too that, I don't know if that will play into this. This might play into this a little bit too, is that I guess Disney Plus has already met their 5-year subscriber projections after less than a year. So, like, I don't know if that tells me that their projections were just super conservative or if COVID, you know, really drove that many more people to their service.
I think COVID, yeah.
But they've got a huge subscriber base, obviously, that they're going to be able to market this to. So, well, you know, like I said, we'll have to see how it plays out.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like Disney doesn't know what they're doing.
No, they do. And, you know, I'm sure they've, you know, all these things go through, testing gauntlets or focus groups or you name it before they put these things out there. So I'm sure they've had some kind of feedback already on what they think it's going to do.
I am kind of surprised on the September 4th date because that's Labor Day weekend, I think, isn't it? Or right before it or something like that?
Well, it probably is Labor Day. It's probably the Friday before because Labor Day is usually the first weekend in September.
Right. So. But the idea of, like, you had all summer and you waited until the kids are going back to school and it's Labor. You know what I mean? It's just, believe me, people are still going to buy it. I get it. It's not really that big a deal. But when I first saw that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, you waited this long and you're actually releasing this. Basically, it's kind of a kids movie before, like, right when the kids go back to school, if they're going back, even if they're not going back to school, they're going to be at home learning or whatever is going on where you are. But it feels like you would have got a bigger bang if it happened like midsummer or earlier on. But obviously,
this is probably a decision that was made fairly recently, and they probably want to have enough time to market it.
Right.
to people. And then, like you said, they are probably taking advantage of the fact that it's a holiday weekend. So even if the kids are back in school, they've probably got that 3-day weekend coming. And it's not like families can, you know, really take trips or go anywhere. So
good point.
Most of them will probably be at home, as opposed to like a normal year where, you know, a lot of people go out of town or do different things. So again, like you said, they know what they're doing. So I'm sure they picked it strategically.
Yeah. Yep. All right. What else you got? This one on WWE3?
Yeah, just a little bit of news that came out this week that, you know, Patty Jenkins made a statement that she will probably do a Wonder Woman 3 and then she'll be done with DC and walk away from Warner Brothers. But, you know, the takeaway there is that she's going to do Wonder Woman 3. So, you know, not even having had Wonder Woman 2 yet, you know, there had been no announcements going at all on whether there was going to be a Wonder Woman 3. Now, her desire to do it doesn't necessarily translate into the studio's willingness to fund it, but I would imagine that, you know, if she wants to do it, they're going to let her do it. So I just think that's good news that we know we're going to get another one at some point.
Are they going to release Wonder Woman 3 in back-to-back weekends? Two come out and then three.
Maybe so, yeah. It's looking that way.
I with all of this stuff, I mean, obviously what we have going on with Mulan and then what we talked about last week with Universal and how, I don't know, how soon are we getting all of these? Like, are they going to drop Wonder Woman eventually? Because
That's the whole thing. I think all eyes are on Mulan right now.
Right.
To see how it performs. And then, you know, because we've got some big movies waiting in the wings. Because we've got Tenet, we've got Wonder Woman, we've got the new James Bond movie. Like, there's a few really big releases that are just kind of hanging out there waiting to be released. So I think a lot of eyes are going to be on this Disney decision and, you know, how it performs. But like I said, I don't think they can all necessarily wait until this comes out to make their decisions because they're losing another month. And, you know, every day is money lost on these movies because they're all done and just sitting on the shelf waiting for people to see them.
Right. So. Yep. Yep. Hey, did you see the fandom tweet? Fandom put out a tweet of Jason Momoa doing some promo for Dune. And it's like, it's just him on the set. And he's just, I just saved it because anytime you see him on social media, it's the guy's just having a ball.
Oh, yeah. He loves being Jason Momoa.
Oh, he just, he just loves life. And he's just, remember he was promoting Aquaman and it's like everywhere he went, he was dancing with the people. He was doing, he just has such a great time. He's always got a big smile on his face. And I mean, it's just, he's one of those guys that you're like, he's massive. But you still wouldn't be afraid to run up to him and go, hey, you
know, like, yeah,
he's not like imposing.
He's like
in
a guy
that
will have a beer with you, you know, and
yeah.
Now, just like in Aquaman, right?
It's like, right.
You know, he meets those bikers in the bar and then they sit down and have a beer.
Right. So. And the guy pulls out his pink phone and says, can we take a picture? He's like,
right.
All right. And then he's all great with him and everything. That was pretty cool. Yeah, that was. Anytime I see him on Twitter, it just always makes me laugh. Yeah. Always makes me laugh. Hey, we had a new listener. I don't know if he's contacted us in the past. It's Dennis Chandler at UTENGR on Twitter at Utengum.
It might be an acronym for something.
I
don't know if it's a word.
Yeah. Anyways, he tweeted at us this week talking about last week we were talking about where you can price out.
Oh, yeah. Books. I saw that. Yep.
And you saw a tweet and he said, you know, you can check prices online at Cove Price and or Go Collect.
Right.
Great episode. Thank you. But yeah, I just wanted to get your comments on that. I've never heard of those. I've heard of both of them.
I've heard of both of those sites. I've just have always found that online price guide sites tend to inflate the prices a bit, and they're not really the true market value. And that's true of any, not even just comic books, but you like, you know, it's no secret that I'm a big Star Wars collector. And, you know, if I look at, like Facebook groups or price guides for Star Wars toys, the prices seem to be a lot higher than what you usually end up paying on eBay or like Marketplace or something for them. So that's why I still, to me, eBay is the best for anything. But as I mentioned last week, it's cumbersome to check large amounts of something. So that's when those price guide sites come in handy, because you can just scan for the outliers, and then I always go to eBay to get the prices on those. So.
Cool. All right. I think that's all we have. Is that all we got for this week?
I think so. It seemed to be a little bit slow news week. I didn't see a lot coming. I mean, DC Fandome is coming.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But, you know, really nothing came out of San Diego Comic-Con's online event. So I'm not expecting a whole lot to come out of this one either. We are going to get a trailer and some more news on the Snyder Cut, but that's probably about it. Speaking of which, did you see Ryan Reynolds' tweets and Instagram posts this week about being in the Snyder Cut of the Justice League movie?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he said something to the effect is, you know, I hear I'm in the Snyder Cut or whatever, even though I didn't film anything for it. So, and he put out a little like 20-second video or something of it. So it was pretty funny, but you know, it's just Ryan being Ryan.
I haven't seen it. I haven't been online a lot. The last few days I've been really, really busy this week, and I haven't picked up my phone. Like I said, even when you texted me, it took me a few minutes to even get to see what you said. Yeah. But yeah, it's, yeah, he's a riot. He's a blast. I'm trying, there was something else I wanted to talk about that I thought was cool, but I don't know. I'm sure it'll come to me. I'm so overwhelmed right now. We're releasing the hounds. We have Dr. Joe making trips here. It's crazy, crazy show.
Crazy times.
You ready to get to some books?
Sure.
All righty. John, what am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So first book we're going to take a look at is Batman number 96. So this is obviously the continuation of the Joker War. And this is the first appearance of a character called Clown Hunter. You know, regular issues are sitting at pretty much cover price, but the 1 in 25 for this is kind of all over the place right now. It's selling for as low as $20 and as high as $50. So the 1 in 25 variant has Clown Hunter on the cover. So it's definitely one to keep an eye on, you know, as far as that goes. And even with the regular issues, they're not seeing a price increase yet, but. You know, I always say this, it all depends on what happens with this character. You know, if the character only ever shows up in this one issue, right, and that's it, you know, it probably won't be worth anything. But, you know, we already saw that the punchline first appearance is almost at $100 now. And I think it's like number 92.
And she wasn't even, 92, you could barely call that an appearance.
Yeah, yeah. But even like the first appearance of the designer, which I think was like issue 92 yep. or 93, you know, that's a $25-$30 book. So, you know, maybe worth picking these up. You know, it's Batman, so a lot of you are probably picking it up anyways, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on. The other one, this book was on fire today, is Dark Knight's Death Metal Legends of the Dark Knight. It says issue one, but it's just a one shot. So,
yeah.
This is the first full appearance of Robin King. Now, I think the cameo in this was Death Metal number 2, but this is the first full appearance. Like, this has been crazy. This has had heat ever since last week. People have been talking about this. It's been sold out. It's selling for between $25 and $30 for the main cover. And the 1 in 25 variant is insane at over $250 right now.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are looking at this. You know, again, I don't know what's going to happen with the Robin King, and I haven't gotten to read, like, I haven't gotten this far down the list of DC to read yet, so I haven't read any Death Metal. But a lot of people are kind of pinning this, you know, looking back at last year's first appearance of the Batman Who Laughs, and, you know, that thing being, you know, $150, $180 right now. So they're thinking Robin King, you know, may follow suit. And I think that's what's driving people to this. So once again, this could maintain or it could drop like a rock depending on the outcome of this series and
right.
what happens with Robin King. But like I said, this one, I mean, I had people calling for days looking for this. And, you know, it was pre-sold out before I even opened today because this broke last week and people were snapping it up all, you know, on pre-orders. So if you were able to get one, great. I know a lot of most stores around here didn't have any today. So
yeah, I got mine and Slade told me they had sold their 1 in 25 before I got there at like 9:10 and somebody had already scooped up their 1 in 25 and I won't tell you what they sold it for, but yeah, a lot of money.
I underordered on this. I didn't order 25 copies, which I should have. But, you know, again, it's one of those things, you know, if you knew before it came out,
right.
everybody would
order. You didn't know at FOC, so, and,
right.
you know.
And this just isn't one that I ordered, that I was going to order that many copies of, so. All right, next is Dreaming Waking Hours number 1. Also, the one to pay attention to here is the 1 in 25 variant. This one's also pretty hot, selling for between $50 and $60, which is, you know, a lot of money for this title and for a 1 in 25 variant there. So also one to grab if you can. From Image Comics, we have Ice Cream Man number 20. The B cover is a Dr. Seuss homage cover. And, you know, several people were looking for this today in my store too, selling for between $20 and $25. So...
yeah, Marvel. We had a conversation about this. Iowa Joe put that out, the Ice Cream Man. Yeah, he put that out this morning, and then I replied with the Eddie Murphy playing in my head right now, Ice Cream Man.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, it's just a B cover. It's not it's not any kind of ratio. So I mean, stores could definitely have these on the shelf. Ice Cream Man just isn't a big seller for me. I don't even order it anymore. You know, the first few issues sold really well, and then it kind of fell off a cliff, and I don't even order a single copy now. So I don't know. I'm sure it does better in other stores, but I didn't even have one of these to start the day. So, all right, next from Marvel, we have Maestro Future Imperfect, Marvel Tales. So we every time one of these Marvel Tales comes out, we talk about the 1 in 50 variant. They all seem to be super, super in demand. This one, the 1 in 50, was by In-Hyuk Lee, and it's selling for about $100. So definitely
nice.
Definitely one to look for. Yeah. And then Marvel's Black Cat Strikes, number 4, the 1 in 25 variant here is selling for about $40. So I think in a lot of these cases, like these are titles that, like, I would never order 50 copies of Marvel Tales for an $8 reprint. So, and I think, you know, I don't know that many stores that are ordering tons of these. And I think that plays a lot into why the prices are so high.
Right.
It just doesn't, there's just not a lot of them out there. You know, same thing with Black Cat Strikes. Like, this isn't a title that sells 25 copies. Unless you're just a mega store that, you know, you order, you know, hundreds of copies of every issue. But for most of us in the real world, I would never sell 25 copies of this book. So I think that's why these things are so high. And then last but not least, kind of continuing in the trend of Marvel and their second prints, Star Wars Bounty Hunters number 1 had a second printing that came out today. This is selling for between $15 and $20. So, you know, again, I can't recommend any second or third prints enough lately. It seems to be where it's at with all of these Marvel books.
Yeah. So if you've got the first one, you want to make some money, you got to go get the second one.
That's right. You keep the first print, and then you sell the second print.
Yep.
So, all right. That's it for Speculator Roundup.
All righty. Let's get into Back Issue Bonus.
All right. Thor is the theme. Yeah, back issue bonus. Yeah, continuing the theme of the last couple of weeks where we're not necessarily calling out one book, but we're calling out a series of books by specific people.
Yeah.
the Donny Cates Thor run, which is on, only had 5 issues so far, but like all of these books, and these are, we're just talking about the first printings here. Like if you're sitting on any of these books, like this is gold right now.
Right.
Except for number one, for some strange reason, the first issue is still only going for cover price. I don't necessarily know why, but you can still grab that one relatively cheaply. But for issues 2 through 5, you're looking at $60 to $80 for number 2, $30 for number 3. Number 4 is a little bit lower at $10, and then number 5 is $60. And then we've talked about all of these having second and third prints over the last couple of weeks that are selling anywhere between $20 and $40 for those printings. So, you know, I think we talked about the Donny Cates Venom run like 2 weeks ago. So really anything Donny Cates right now is super popular. You know, he's very popular writer. No, he's not dying. So, but I would start looking at, again, just my recommendation, but I would start looking at other things that he's done recently that haven't caught fire yet. So be looking at like Silver Surfer Black that he did last year that is still relatively cheap to acquire. It may be worth picking those up, even the Guardians of the Galaxy run that he did, because the one thing he's known to do is to tie all of these things in together. And you know, they were all loosely, they've all kind of been loosely tied in anyways. You know, like the Silver Surfer's tied in a little bit with Thor and with Venom and Guardians of the Galaxy. So depending on what he does with the rest of this Thor series, all of those books could become relevant. So definitely something you might want to take a look at.
What happened on Thor number 4? Why is it only $10?
I'm not sure. really not sure why that's so low, because
quite a price second drop.
The second and third printings for number 4 are worth a lot more than $10. So
that's probably why.
Yeah. but yeah, like I said, and this has been a great run. Like it's been a really great story so far. But I'm not quite sure that it's been that good that it justifies these prices.
But, yeah, that's weird.
But yeah, I mean, like I said, right now it's the new hotness. So it's definitely something you want to jump on. And if you're not on the subscription yet, I jump on to number 6 and later, because the things that have happened in these issues is only building and there's more to come. So I can't see the trend, really slowing down anytime soon. I think these books are going to be hot for a while. So
cool.
Definitely worth it. All right. The next book is from 2014. It's Batman number 28. So I believe this is the new 52, version of Batman. This is the first appearance of Bluebird, which is currently $15 to $20. Not sure what the relevance is yet of Bluebird, but it's seen some heat right now. All right, Raphael issue number 1. This is the first appearance of Casey Jones. Turtle stuff is starting to pick up a lot of heat right now, especially with The Last Ronin getting ready to come out. Copies of this are selling for $100 plus for nice condition copies. So,
wow.
It's really one, like this is, we might
what year
watch.
Is that from?
Not sure.
I Raphael don't number one, here. First appearance of Casey Jones?
His first Casey Jones, got to be at least 10 years old. More than that, actually. Casey Jones has been around for a long time. So,
yeah.
Probably 20 years ago, I would imagine. So,
well, was he not in the comics? But he was only, because I'm trying to remember back
then. I'm not
sure
when, yeah, I'm not even sure, to be honest with you. I don't know. I've never been a big reader of the comics. You know, I remember him from some of the shows, and I don't know if he appeared on, you know, on the shows before he appeared in any comics.
That's what I mean.
And it's possible that he did, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to look and see, but I don't know. I don't.
That was a long time ago. That would have been 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because the comic came, the show came out over 30 years, or just about 30 years ago.
Right, but it could, like I said, it could be the case where, like with Harley Quinn, where she appeared on Batman, the animated show, you know, a bit before any of the comics. So,
but I'm trying to remember, because I was reading the comics long before the show, and, you know, your memory goes mush Yeah. Everything gets mushed together. I'm like, maybe he wasn't in the comics and I just don't remember.
Yeah, but, I don't know either.
Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. This next one, again, is also a group of issues, not necessarily a single issue, but it's Invincible. You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about the animated series. It's getting ready to come out on Amazon Prime. And, you know, they released the voice cast for this show, which is incredible. Like, there's so many people that are going to be voicing on this show. And it's driving a lot of interest on these back issues. The first appearance is, you know, a $300 to $400 book right now. You know, Invincible's first appearance was in a book called Noble Causes, number 3, and that's going for $100. But all of these early issues all have first appearances of different characters along the way. So it's hard to say which ones are going to take off more than any others, but, you know, anywhere in the first, maybe the first 12 issues, you're going to have so many first appearances of a lot of characters. And they're not necessarily super cheap now. Like, this is already, like I said, number 1's a $300 to $400 book already. But as this show comes out, if it's as popular as I think it will be, look for these books to start going pretty high. So, it's almost to the point where the ship is sailing if you want to get these, but there's still a little time before the show comes out to get them. So, and then I think the last book is Spider-Gwen number 1. There's a third printing on here. Again, I don't think it's anything more than just scarcity. But this book has been going up for a couple of weeks and it's looking to be about $150 now.
It's funny how you say, like, I think it's just like people just noticed. Hey, look, this is only a few of these just now.
Well, but there's no other reason.
Right.
There's no other reason for it. Like, Spider-Gwen, nothing's happening with the character right now.
Right.
I think it's just people are starting to notice that these printings are, you know, something that's worthwhile, and people are looking for any book with a popular character where they might be able to get like a third or fourth printing, and it's just driving the prices up on all of these. So,
yeah, it's just funny, like how you say that. I mean, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking,
I know.
Like, it is kind of funny. Like, oh, what do we got this week? This is scarce.
Yeah,
like it was scarce a month ago.
Of course. But I think it's, you know, as they're starting to get priced out of other books, like her first appearance in Edge of Spider-Verse is starting to get so high in price that they're looking for other, I think they're looking for other early appearances. And
that makes
trying
sense.
To find, you know, not necessarily the first print where there's a million copies, but the second and third prints.
So people are trying to find a cheaper alternative, but then when you start, it drives the price up.
Right. It no longer becomes the cheaper alternative.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into FOC for next. Well, I don't even want to say the date anymore, but the upcoming FOC. Please get these into your stores immediately, because if it's a DC book, you have till, 5 minutes from right now.
Right. If it's a holiday week.
Right.
So, let's not go there, because I'll stop reading books again. So,
I'm not hearing that. I want to go watch Star Wars.
I know. I read mine. I'm going to resume my boycott tomorrow. So you have until tomorrow to read your books.
Yeah, exactly. I was so close.
All right. So starting with DC, we have variant covers for Harley Quinn and the Birds of Prey, number 3. It has an Ian McDonald variant cover that I like quite a bit.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I did my homework this week. I actually looked these up ahead of time. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's a really, really nice cover.
It's a very busy cover. A lot of work.
Yeah, there's a lot of characters.
Yeah. Yep. It's pretty cool.
We have Deceased Dead Planet number 3, Francesco Mattina variant cover. And then Batman 98 also has a Francesco Mattina cover. I like that one quite a bit as well.
I like that one better. That one's
I think that's the best of the three.
Yeah.
I do like the Harley cover as well. And there's no new series from DC on FOC.
That's actually the most I've seen Punchline since, because I've been boycotting.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her that much.
That's I know. Pretty... I finally, well, again, no, I'm not trying to rub it in, but I finally got to read a little bit of Punchline, and it's like, okay, at least I know about this character a little bit now.
Is it worth the hype?
She's a pretty good character so far.
Yeah.
You know, again, not doing a ton in the issues. You know, it's really Joker, a Joker story, but she's there as kind of like his new Harley, you know, his main henchman. So, it's pretty good.
See that? I'm giving you some practice on selling the book.
I know, right?
I've already bought it, but that was good, John. That was good.
Yeah. Yeah, she's pretty good. All right. Let's see. Yeah, like I said, there's no new series from DC. Okay. From Dark Horse, we have Spy Island, issue number one, and this is going to be a 4-issue miniseries, and there's 2 covers for that.
All right.
I don't know why I wrote this down. Image has ink blot. It must be number one, and I just have a typo here, because I don't know why I would have called out ink blot number 3. I think this is number one, and I just have a typo, but, ink blot from Image has 1 cover. From Marvel.
So should I change the number 3 or should I?
Yeah, I change it to number 1. I'm sure it's number 1. There's no way I would have put number 3 on there. Yeah, from Marvel, we have no variant covers to look at here. We do have 2 new series, though. We have Black Widow number 1 with multiple covers and Marvel Zombies Resurrection number 1 of 4, and there's multiple covers for that. From Boom Comics, we have We Only Find Them When They're Dead, issue number 1, and there's multiple covers there. And last but not least, from Titan, we have Doctor Who Time Lord Victorious, number 1, and there's multiple covers for that. And that is it.
Well, that one gives away the ending with the title.
Yeah, I know, right? We know he wins, so no reason to really read it.
Yeah, exactly. That was a good one. I like that. The ups and the downs. You're not really on the edge of your seat, though, so. Oh well.
Nope. You kind of buried the lead.
No, you didn't bury it. You unburied
the lead. Or you didn't
the
bury
lead.
The lead. You just kind of left the lead
exposed.
Out there for the world to see.
Just hanging out there.
Yeah.
All right. You ready to get the checkout?
Sure.
All right, John. What did you check out this week? I'm actually very interested in this first one that you have. What's the first book you checked out this week?
First book I checked out was from Titan Comics. It's called Horizon Zero Dawn, issue number 1. It was written by Ann Toole. It had art by Ann Molina. And there was a couple of covers. There's an Art Germ cover and a Peach Momoko cover. If you've heard this show at all in recent weeks, you might want to go out and pick up that Peach Momoko cover, even if you're not interested in reading the book, because her covers are pretty popular right now. Yep. So anyway, this is a series based on a video game, which I didn't realize until I started reading it. So the first thing I noticed when I opened this book is I had like Jonathan Hickman flashbacks, because I was met with a giant white page.
Oh, no.
Of character bios for these characters. And as I read this page, this is what clued me into the fact that this was based on a video game. But this is based in a future Earth, you know, again, where we have somehow managed to wipe out most of the population and civilization, and we're back to living off the land. But we somehow have mechanized dinosaurs that roam the world. And, you know, we have these hunters that are trying to hunt down the mechanical vampires. So this, yeah, it wasn't great, to be honest with you. I won't bury the lead. The art was pretty simplistic, and I didn't think it was very good. And the story just felt too generic to me. Like, it just kind of felt like I was reading a little bit of somebody else playing the video game. You know what I mean? It just didn't seem to have a lot of... Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a Twitch comic book?
Yeah, kind of. it didn't seem to be super deep, and I really didn't get into it. Now, I've never played the game, so I have no attachment to any of the characters or the world, and I don't even know necessarily that the characters for the book are from the game specifically. But
didn't make you want to run out and grab the game?
It didn't. No, it really didn't do it for me too much, which is a shame because I was actually really looking forward to reading this one. You know, I've been seeing obviously I ordered it a few weeks ago, but they've been promoting this one pretty heavily. And, yeah, I was kind of looking forward to it, and I didn't think it was that great, honestly.
That's too bad. That's too bad. I read your other one.
Okay.
And I was looking forward to that one since it's been a while since there's something you read that I hadn't read. So
yeah, no kidding. There was actually a few choices this week because there was a couple of other books I could have picked as well. Yeah. But
I have one other one. I'll go over that. I read Bad Mother number one.
Yeah, that was the other option that I didn't get a chance to read yet.
You maybe should have gone that way.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. As far as AWA books go, Upshot books, I can't say that it's the best. But I thought it was really good. It starts off pretty mundane, which is the idea. It's like a mother setting, you know, typical mom setting. But then it's like page two, it jumps right to this pretty action packed scene. I won't give it away because it does have some ups and downs to it. I would say the one flaw is I don't know where it's going. Like you have no idea what's the story about? I guess it's a horror, but right. You don't know, excuse me. You don't know exactly what they're trying to say here, but like I said, starts out with a humdrum life and then the action, but mystery and there's tons of intrigue. Because you're like, you don't know what's going on. And then at the end, it's kind of like, is this a whodunit? Is it a who did what? There's not really a murder per se, but it does keep you on the edge of your seat. I'm trying not to give anything away, right. But like I said, it's like, even if I gave it away, you'd still be like, well, where's it going? I have no idea. And that to me is kind of a flaw because you want to know you want to expect something. I have no idea what to expect by this.
Well, especially with a book that's only going to be 4 or 5 issues to begin with. Like if you're 20 to 25% into the story, you should have some idea of where it's going, you know?
Right.
So
it's like, I don't know if there's going to be supernatural. I don't know if, because like I said, like something happens in the book and you're not sure what this means, how it happened or anything like that. I thought the writing was good. I thought the art was good. But like I said, it gives you that little bit of unknown that I hate to say it, but because it's an Upshot book, I hate to say it, but it's like, it's that little bit of unknown that when this book comes out again, am I going to remember to grab it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Am I dying to get number two? Because I don't know what I'm missing. I don't know what's around the corner. There's no cliffhanger here. It's kind of just like ended and you're like, okay, well, I was on the edge of my seat here, but you just kind of left me there.
Right.
It was weird. So, but I did enjoy it. I got to say, I mean, it wasn't like you were saying about a Horizon Zero there where you're like, mm-hmm. I mean, I did enjoy it. I just, when it ended, I was like, wait a minute, it's over? Ugh. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but I would still give it a read. I'd give it a read.
Well, I mean, I'm going to read it anyways because it's AWA and they're on my list of books to read. But I'm going to be diving into some DC for a little while, so
yeah,
might take me some time to get to it, but it's for sure on my list.
Yep. All right, you ready to get to this one?
Yeah. So the second book I read is from Vault Comics. I really told everybody last week what.
Oh,
it was
actually,
be.
I'm sorry. Before yeah, we do that, ahead. Let me go. I never said the other ones. Obviously, I said it's AWA, but the writer Krista Faust, and art by Mike Diodato.
Diodato. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like his art. I haven't seen this book, but I like that artist in other books. So.
Yeah, the art was really good. I really liked the art. It told the story. It helped tell the story, which I don't know what it is, but it did move the story along.
Right.
But yeah, and there's a little write-up about, she does a write-up in the back saying, like, she's not a mom. She's 50 years old. She's never been a mom. Doesn't want to be a mom, blah, blah, blah. But she was really drawn to this character. And that's pretty much, that's worth reading too. But yeah, anyways, sorry.
Cool.
Back to
no,
Vampire.
Yeah, so yeah, from Vault Comics, Vampire the Masquerade, issue number one. It was written by Tim Seeley and Various. I think Tim Seeley is credited as the main writer, so I'm not sure what Various means. It had art by Dev Pramanek and Nathan Gooden. So again, this is another comic book based on a game. Vampire the Masquerade was first a card game, a collectible card game back in the 90s, and then it became a role-playing game, and I think it's still a role-playing game, and I believe there's also a video game now to go with it. So there's a this is a pretty big universe. I guess it's the World of Darkness universe. So at this point, you know, this is a vampire story. Obviously, it's right there in the title. it's hard at this point to suck me into a vampire story if you're not bringing anything. Yeah. If you're not bringing anything new or different to it, because, you know, like zombies, we have vampire stories. Like, there's no shortage of vampire books out there. So I was really looking forward to reading this because I used to play the card game and, you know, I had a little bit of attachment to it, even though, you know, it was a card game, so there was no real characters like this that I remember. But so there's a couple of things here that I liked. I don't want to get into too much of the story, but, you know, it's set up like a traditional vampire story. There's kind of like hierarchies of like the vampire society, and you know, this is following a character called Cecily, who is kind of
very,
like,
Underworld-esque at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. And she's kind of like on the outside on purpose. Like, she's one of those that hasn't really declared where her loyalties lie. And there's like a conflict coming, and people are trying to get her to, I guess, put her loyalty somewhere. And she's a little bit of an outsider. But this had a couple of things that were new, I think, that were a little interesting. There's a scene in the beginning where she, you know, she's a vampire, so she kills somebody. But she's able to, I guess,
like
get
chew.
The feelings, like the feelings and the emotions of that person after she feeds on them, which is a little bit new to the vampire mythos, because that's not something I've heard before. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
That was kind of in Underworld. Remember, like, they could, the elders in Underworld could, like, get your memories from the blood.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I guess, yeah.
And, you know, and it's like, but in here it was like you said, it was like, it felt like all of them could do it. And
yeah, and this was kind of like it was almost like a lie detector test in a way, right? Because the
yes.
first, I don't, like I said, I'm not trying to give anything away, but there was the specific reason why she killed this person, and then after it was done, she was like, oh, well, I didn't really need to do that, you know?
Right.
But that was cool, and yeah, I mean, overall, I thought this was interesting. I don't like when books do this, especially in the first issue, but this was really kind of a short main story. It was almost like half the book, and then the last half of the book was like a secondary backup story. So I really don't like when they do that, because I feel like they don't take enough time to develop the world for the first issue. So I felt a little bit shortchanged by this, because we didn't get a whole lot with this story. But like I said, there's a really interesting relationship with her and her the sister of this main character who has Alzheimer's, and she's kind of wrestling with the thought, you know, she could obviously cure her if she was to turn her into a vampire. She has to actually pretend to be her niece and not her sister, because the sister is quite a bit older, and, you know, obviously she can't pretend to be her sister at her age
anymore.
So, I mean, I thought there was some cool things here. I'm interested in this, but I felt a little, like I said, I felt a little gypped when I got to the end of the main story, because I just felt like, you know, they could have gone further with it. And
I did not like
the backup story was bad necessarily, but
I didn't like it though. Compared to the first story, I was like, maybe that would have been a good story on its own. But after reading the first, you're like, I wasn't done with that. I'm like, now I'm getting into it. And it was, I felt like it was more, instead of 50-50, I felt like it was like 60-40 or something, you know, like two thirds to a third. And you were like, so that second story, you really couldn't get into because
And you don't really know where it fits into the, to the main story either.
I wasn't even sure if it was part of the same story.
Well, like it might not be, right? That's what I'm saying. I'm You're not sure how it fits in another story.
I'm like,
yeah. So, like I said, I don't mind it if a book does that halfway through its run, but in the first issue, I'm not a big fan of it, and it's not the first time that we've talked about books that do that. But I still, like I said, overall, I liked it, and I think I recommend it. Like, I think it's worth checking out. Because I think the main story is going to be pretty good. But I felt like this issue should have given us a full issue and it's not like, you know, I mean, we've had all the time in the world, right? Like with COVID, nobody's been working for a year. So, like why they didn't have time to give us a full 22 pages. Like, I'm not quite sure why they couldn't have given us that. So,
well, not to mention, it's like you're working at home.
Right.
The artists are drawing at home and the writers are writing at home. Like,
yeah. I feel like this has been planned well enough in advance that they could have given us a little bit more if they wanted to. But,
and I liked the first story. I thought it started out great and kind of slowed down a little bit. But I still liked it. Like you said, I liked that whole relationship with the sister. That's kind of telling you her age as well. There were a lot of little nuggets here that were interesting. But like you said, I didn't think there was anything new to the vampire lore. There was nothing new to bring you into it. Like, you were like, oh, that's a cool idea.
Yeah. Well, I had kind of forgotten that thing with Underworld. Like, I thought that kind of thought that was a new wrinkle that they brought to this comic book, as far as like the getting the memories and stuff like
but the houses that they were talking about here, very much like Underworld, because Underworld was we have the, you know, this house of elders, and then and even in the later movies they start to come, all the elders are coming together from the different houses.
But that's a theme throughout a lot of vampire. Like, that's kind of, like, there's always a hierarchy to the vampire.
Right.
So that wasn't necessarily new either. Yeah, you're right. It was similar to Underworld there.
Even her name, Cecily.
Cecily, yeah.
Cecily. And it was Celine.
Right.
In Underworld. So I was like, I'm reading it. And I'm not saying that's a knock. I liked that part of this book. I liked this book. That second story I did not like, because, like I said, it took me away from the first story, which I was just getting into. And that second story, to me, I kept flipping back, like, did I miss a page where, hey, this is a preview of what's coming next on this book? You know, I thought it was a completely different book. So I agree. I didn't like that at all, that they did that. But you'll have to remind me when it comes out again. When number two comes out, I'll check it out, I guess.
Yeah, like I said, I'm definitely going to read it. I did like it. I just wish it was a little bit more to, like I said, I just wish it was a full issue and not, you're right. Yeah, it was a little bit more than half. It was probably 60% or so.
Yeah.
For that first story. But, you know, it was kind of just getting good. Like that whole other, you know, vampire that she kind of took under her wing.
Right.
You know, it was kind of just getting to be interesting, and then we ended and moved on to another story.
Yeah, inexplicably. So.
Right. Yeah,
I'm not even going to try to say that again. But not even a to be continued or anything.
Right, because that's the whole thing. It didn't say anything like end of part one or anything. You just kind of – the only thing to tell you that it changed was that the whole
monochromatic
style changed.
Tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was
just
a different –
changed to a different art and a different character.
I think it
character.
Went from purple to yellow or something. Yeah. You're like, okay, I guess this is different. Yeah, there was nothing. All right.
So, yeah, they could have done a little bit better job there, but I think it was still – it's definitely worth the $4. I think it was interesting, so.
All right. All right. That's it for books. That's all I was able to read this week. I wanted to get to Firepower 2. Looking forward to that. But I have a couple other number ones that I wanted to read. Tinseltown?
I didn't see that one. I don't think
that's
I
from,
read that one.
Alterna Comics.
Okay.
I wanted to read that. And then there was a couple other ones I wanted to read, too. Star Wars book came out today, but...
Yeah.
Like I said, busy time of year for me. Busy time.
Yeah, this was a big week, though. There was a pretty good selection that came out today.
Especially when you start reading DC again.
Yeah, right? Well, I got 6 weeks of DC to catch up on, so.
I know. Hey, we didn't do this the last couple of weeks. What have you been checking out on Real World?
Well, I watched, obviously, Umbrella Academy came out last Friday. So, you know, we'll talk about that. From Monday, I watched that over the weekend. I watched on Peacock Brave New World. I just finished that.
How was that?
I liked it. Yeah, it was really good. Good sci-fi. It has Alden Ehrenreich, who was Han Solo in the Solo movie, plays in this. And I can't remember the name of the actress. Jessica Brown or... Finlay Brown or something like that. Okay. She was in Harlots on Hulu, which I haven't seen, but she's in Harlots and she was in Downton Abbey. So she's been in a few things, but she was the main female lead in this. It's based on a book by Aldous Huxley. I think it was written like in the 60s. But it's a sci-fi kind of dystopia. Again, it's... You know, we've kind of destroyed the world and, you know, you know what it reminded me a lot of is, Join the Future, that comic where like there's the kind of like the civilized city that they want everybody to live in. And then outside the city is like the savage lands where, you know, it's kind of like, you know, all hell's broken loose. And, it was very similar to that. You know, you had like the big nice shining city where everything is supposed to be great. And then, basically in the Savage Lands, like a theme park that they go to. And it's and it's really just, everyday life, but you know, in the city, there's like three rules. There's no privacy. There's no monogamy. And I think everyone is happy is what it says. So like to them, it's a foreign concept to have marriage or to have like the theme park is like four different parks. And one of them is like the House of Consequence and it's like a prison. So it's like all these things that they're looking at that is foreign to them. And the people that are like in the Savage Lands, you know, obviously don't like these people coming in, you know, kind of like making fun of them. And so Alden Ehrenreich is one of these, you know, he lives in the Savage Lands and he gets brought into the city. And, you know, of course, when you mix, you know, you throw a monkey wrench into the perfect society, nothing good happens. And it was really, cool. I thought it was good. So, I watched that and I'm sure I watched something else, but nothing else is really coming to mind. Those are the two main things.
Cool. Yeah, we just started The Capture on Peacock.
Oh, on Peacock? Yeah, I haven't. That's probably our next one because
Probably finish it before we do. But it's only
probably
it's only six episodes, so we'll probably we really liked it. It's we started it yesterday. We lost internet in the middle of the first episode.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we were both
storming.
The tropical storm or whatever came through. We never lost power. We just lost internet.
Okay.
Which stinks. Especially when you're streaming everything.
Yeah, you'd almost rather lose power. Because you're just sitting there with the lights on and you can't watch TV.
Yeah. You're like, huh, now what? Okay, I can't read DC yet. Right.
If only you had a theater and some Blu-rays that you could watch.
Well, this was at like 9 o'clock at night. I didn't want to go downstairs.
You weren't gonna start. Yeah, you weren't. Gonna
and
start
I was getting ready for like getting ready to go up to bed. You know, now you get into bed, and if you're used to watching TV, and you're like, hmm. But anyway, so yeah, the first episode is all I've seen so far, but it is like riveting. Like,
yeah,
you want to go on and watch like the next one right away. The idea is the capture, the name of it is, it's not off of capturing a person. The idea is that you're capturing an image.
Uh-huh.
And this is in the trailer, because I've only seen the first episode, so I already know this, but it's in the trailer that they frame somebody by using CCTV and editing it to make it look like he was there. And in the first episode, they show him, and he's like, that's not what happened. And they're like, they're getting him.
Oh, yeah, I saw the previews for that. Yeah.
It's crazy. And it's kind of I was explaining it to my daughter, and I'm like, this is what they're saying can happen. This is like, there's these conspiracy theories like TikTok and all of these face recognition software is all meant for, you know, so that they can duplicate people's faces and they can do all of this stuff. Right. And it's like this show, it's like supposed to be hitting on that. And it's like all that aside, you know, they end the first episode and you're still like, which way is this going to go? What's happening? It's like, maybe it's not this. Maybe it is that. It's really well done. Really well done.
That's right. I saw that episode. That they played the trailer for that in front of Brave New World. So yeah, I remember seeing that. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah,
that's like I said. We'll probably watch that next because we finished. Like I said, we finished Brave New World last night. Oh, you know what? We also watched. This was, I think, 2 weeks ago, but we watched Cursed on Netflix.
You told me that
was kind of based on the King Arthur. Did we talk about that one? Yeah.
Yeah, you and
I did. That one was pretty good too. It's done by. It was written by Frank Miller. It had a very Frank Miller theme to it. You know, it was very reminiscent of like 300. The way they did the action scenes and the blood splatter and that kind of stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, it was decent. Like, it didn't blow me away. Like, you know, obviously I'll watch season two if they make one, but it's definitely worth a watch. It wasn't exactly as good as I was hoping it was going to be, but still worth watching, especially now when there's not a whole lot of choice to watch anything, so.
Well, that's because you've blown through everything.
Well, that's
true. I still have lots of choices.
You do, yeah. And you need to get on Avatar, too. Like, I'm almost done with season two of Avatar, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, I know. Joe's watching it. He keeps telling me the same thing. He's like, when are you going to do this one? I'm like, all right. Really good. I'm like...
Well, you're supposed to have 30 minutes every morning to watch TV, so...
Not anymore, no. I've been because of the heat. Now I get up in the morning and I just leave.
Yeah.
I get up and go because I'm trying
to get too hot.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, not to get into my work and everything, but it's easier when you start when it's a little cooler, and then I could work all day at that point. It just stinks if you get to work, if you don't get to work and it's like already hot.
Yeah.
You just don't want to work because you step
you
out of the truck and you're
acclimate
like,
to it.
Right. You're like, so anyways. But yeah, I just get up and go now. So, anyways, all right, is that it for this week?
I think so.
All right, next week, as you said, we have Umbrella Academy season two.
Yep,
looking forward to that.
Yep.
I don't know how you feel about it, but we will see next.
You have to
Monday.
Tune in on Monday.
On Monday, yep. In the meantime, hey, let us know what you guys are watching. You can tweet at us at brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. any messages you send, I will be happy to forward them along to John because he does not pay attention.
I don't. You're right.
Check out us and all the other great podcasts at Nerdy Legion. And if you're really, really bored, you can click on us at Nerdy Legion and you can go back and you can find some really old episodes.
Nice.
Yeah. Not so nice.
We have a deep catalog.
Yeah. Well, it's extensive. I wouldn't say we're deep.
Well, that's true.
We are pretty shallow. And if you so choose, it would be great if you go on iTunes and rate, review, and subscribe, or on any of the podcasting platforms. That would be great because our advertising budget is not as great as Dr. Joe's, where he gets to fly all over the country.
Yeah.
And promote his new.
How do we get that gig?
Exactly. So thanks to Dr. Joe. Guess we got to be part of
the. Yeah, the Dork Universe or whatever it's
Dork.
Called.
Yeah, it's a Dork Shared Gooniverse.
Gooniverse,
and the
yeah,
goo,
I guess we need
it,
to be
it came
in that.
From the Mac and Goo show.
Yeah.
And who Goo, who's helped us get our podcast started.
Yeah, but he didn't give us any marketing budget, so.
No, none of them have given us a marketing
yeah,
budget. That's all on me.
Renegotiate that contract.
No, but this show probably wouldn't be running if it wasn't for Goo. He helped me out a lot with how to do all of this, and it, you know, so. And then the Dork guys, you know, Ryan and Rich, they're creating a great little universe. They've got it going over there. It's pretty cool. And Dr. Joe's part of it because they're part of, they do video games. They do obviously comic books and stuff too, but they're online. They're on doing streaming on Twitch. They've got video go. They're on Facebook. They're having a blast. They're having a really good time and they're really fun to watch. So support Dr. Joe, support the Dork Gooniverse. It's a blast.
Yep.
And support us, of course. But we will be back on Monday. Can't
we
wait.
We will. Yep.
Have a great weekend.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred.